Today we're going to be talking from the subject of why giving matters. Why giving matters. Last week I talked to you from the subject of a breathing room in your money, and we were talking about that word margin. And margin is the difference between your load and your limit. Margin is what you have left after you've paid all your bills and, you know, and that kind of thing. And so it was really a lesson on stewardship. And it is December. Christmas is coming. The goose is getting fat. I don't know if y'all heard that before. When I was a little kid, that was a nursery rhyme, I think. And so, but one thing we should not allow Christmas to do is to get distorted to the fact that we're running up credit cards and we're trying to please people and make everybody happy and everything. I've got one question I want you to answer with me with a really loud voice. I'm going to count to three so I can make sure that you give me the right answer. But when it comes to Christmas, whose birthday is it? Here we go, one, two, three.
Jesus
is the reason for the season. Now, yes, it is a season of giving, and I believe in giving, and I, you know, I'm at a point in my life where I can give. I'm going to give. My kids are going to get gifts. I have, I don't know, 17, 20 nieces and nephews. I'm going to cash up every one of them, but I wasn't always able to do that. In the early days, it wasn't like that. Lady and I just made sure Jay and Hannah had what they needed. Come on, somebody. You know, and so, because it's going to be greater later, the whole thing is do what give in your lane compared to where you're at. Does that make sense? And so it's a, because if I say, hey, it's Jesus' birthday, people say, well, I can give. You know, I get it, but everybody can't do what you can do, and you can't do what everybody else can do. So everybody say, stay in your lane. So I want to talk to you for the next few minutes of why giving matters. Why giving matters. And giving is actually the first step in stewardship. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But when we begin to understand stewardship, I talked a little bit last week about a budget. You have to have a plan. And a budget doesn't restrict you. A budget actually frees you up. Because now a budget is me telling my money where it's going to go, right? Like y'all, these are things we didn't learn coming up. Nobody taught this to us in middle school and elementary school. In high school, and some of our parents, and I'm not knocking our parents, because how many know our parents did the best they could with what they had, right? So never live your lives. That's a good place to clap, a real good place to clap. Never live your lives upset. Why did they? No. Listen, I promise you, they did the best that they could. You got it. And so one thing that I've always taught you is that giving is not what? That's right. Giving is not a game. Although you might have seen money games played, you know, it's unfortunate. It's not God, but it doesn't take away from the principle that we find all through Scripture. You got it. Not just during the law, before the law and after the law, that giving is not a game, but it is God's plan to prosper our lives. To the degree that we do it on purpose out of principle, we see amazing things happen when we give. Giving is really not about money leaving your hand as much as it is about God stepping into your situation and helping you. And so, how many points do I have for you on this morning, class?
Three.
You already know three simple points. Let's dive in. Everybody say with a strong voice, number one.
Number one.
Number one, the tithe is the first step in stewardship, not the last. So when I'm beginning to put my budget together and, you know, I've got my bill, I got my income that goes at the top, right? And I've got my bills and that kind of thing. I don't pay all my bills and see if I have enough left to give the first to the Lord. Does that make sense? No. So what I do is, you got it, I have my income, you got it, and, you know, a lot of us that were military, we got paid on the 1st and the 15th, so we cut it in half, you got it, and so we got our first pay, you know, and then, you know, we got our first bills, our 15th pay, 15 bills, you might be another way, so you do what works for you. And so coming up in the Marine Corps, that's what we did. You know, this is how much I'm bringing in, and before I put my, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but before I put my bills, you got it, I put the tithe, all right? And so Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, all right? Tithe means tenth or tenth part, all right? So it's 10%. If you were blessed to make $2,000 just this week, you got it, what is the tithe on it?
$200,
all right? What is the offering? Whatever Holy Spirit tells you, right? Because tithe is set, offering is based on, you know, whatever, you know, Holy Spirit tells you to do. So he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. test me in this. This is the only place in Scripture. The KJV says, prove me. It's translated as test. This is the only place in Scripture we find that God says you can test him. So he says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I won't throw open, the KJV says, windows of heaven. I love the NIV. It says the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. And if you notice it, the word, that we read it, whether it's any translation, is blessing and not blessings. Because really, when you start the tithe, you tap into the blessing, which is actually the anointing to prosper, which brings all the blessings that you'll ever need in your life. Does that make sense? All right. And so the tithe is simply returning to God what actually already belongs to him. Leviticus 27 and 30. Let's look at it. I'm going to need your help with that second word. It says, and all. So not some, not just my main money. You understand what I'm saying? But all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the lamb or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. That word holy means set apart. All right. Exodus 23 and 19 says the first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God. The tithe goes to your local church where you're getting fed. You understand? That is the order of God. You know, someone said, I saw someone who was hurting and they needed help, so I gave them the tithe. You got to know the tithe belongs to the Lord. Now, you can bless them and help them, but the tithe always belongs to the Lord. You got it. You can't decide what you want to do with it. It comes to the house of God. You can't divide it. Well, I'm going to give God 3%. I'm going to give mama and them 4%. You got it? No, it don't work like that. You know, y'all remember when Moses dies and Joshua, comes forth and God begins to promise Joshua, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to fail thee. And then they go to Jericho and they win. One thing you have to remember, God said, because this was the first battle, I want you to give everything, all the spoils, everything. You're not getting anything off. You're going to get the victory, but everything comes to me. Well, what happened was the next battle that they go to, Joshua's like, man, surely we're going to win this. If we beat Jericho, we're going to beat them. And they lost. Joshua is upset, goes to God. Lord, you told me as you were with Moses, so shall you be with me. You're not going to leave me. You're not going to forsake me. And he says, yep, I understand. He says, but the reason that you lost the battle is because Israel has stolen from me. He's like, what are you talking about? You know, and come to find out, Achan, a lot of y'all remember the story, had kept the spoils and he put them, you know, in his tent and those kind of things. And it's just it's just something to teach us that it's consecrated, my tithe, when you bring it to the house of God, but it's cursed if you leave it in your tent, your house, or your bank account. So it takes faith, everybody say faith, to believe that the 90% redeemed and blessed will go further than the curse, but I promise you it does. You got it. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 teaches us in Amplified that he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. This is really, a lot of times we need to understand that even when we're reading this scripture, this is talking about attitudes of the heart, all right? The Bible says that the Lord loves a cheerful giver, right? The Bible says where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also. So when it comes to giving, it is all about the heart. We'll keep reading. He who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. Verse 7, let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his heart. Pastor is going to teach you the word of God on giving, but that's where it stops. We will give you opportunity. You got it. Nobody's going to call you because you haven't been given or you haven't been serving. Nobody's going to write you a letter. No, no. We're going to give you opportunity. But we have enough faith to believe, you got it, that as we teach the word of God, you got it, and rightly divide the word of God, that the Holy Spirit will bear witness in your heart that this is right. Whether it's giving, whether it's faith, whether it's Holy Spirit, just no matter what the lesson is, you got it, that the Holy Spirit will bear witness in your heart to the degree that once you know the right thing to do and you don't, watch this, pastor don't need to do it, the church don't need to do it, the Holy Spirit will convict you, him own self. Let me give you another word for convict, convince. So a lot of times when the Holy Spirit convicts you, he's just trying to convince you that, hey, your way is not the right way. My way is the right way. Does that make sense? All right. So let's start back over at verse 7. Let each one give. Are y'all getting anything out of this? As he has made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, he prizes above other things, and he is unwilling to abandon or do without who? A cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving. And that is an attitude of the heart that I give cheerfully, because I understand when I release what's in my hand, God is going to release what's in his, and his hands are bigger than mine. I begin to understand that I can't beat God no matter how hard I try. The more I give, the more God gives back to me. But you have to understand that when I'm giving, it is not just about getting money back. It's way beyond that. Giving puts me in covenant with God. You got it? So I can have the all sufficiency in all things. So in other words, because I'm in covenant with God, it ain't just about money. I need money, but there's a whole lot of, I need favor. Come on, somebody. There's a lot of things that I need. And so what happens, because I am a giver, because I'm in covenant with God, anytime I need anything, watch this. My faith is that God is going to produce it because he's my father. You got it. I'm working his principle, and his principle works. Verse 8. So when we begin, the Bible's full of prophecy, promises, and principles. For every prophecy, for every promise, for every principle, there's a faith process to bring it to pass. The will of God is not automatic. He needs our permission and our participation for him to usher his will into our lives. A lot of times when you look at the Word of God, if you study it, you'll see a principle, you got it, and then behind the principle, you'll see a promise. It's the if-thens. Everybody say if-thens. If ye be willing and obedient, then what's going to happen? You're going to eat the good of the land. If you obey and serve him, then you're going to spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. And now that I've just taught you this, when you start reading your Bible this week, you're going to notice there's if-thens throughout the entire Word of God. All right. That's why, man, the Word of God just gets me excited. I love it. All right. Because you can read Psalms 27 or Psalms 23, the 23rd Psalms, you know, for the 15,000th time, and every time you read it, the Holy Spirit breathes on it a new way, so you never get, it never gets old saying that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Something just happened, you understand? It never gets old when you say the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He is the strength of my life. Like, whom shall I be afraid? I can't explain it. I have quoted that, I feel like, a million times, but every time I do it again, there's a ignitement on the inside. There's a fresh fire on the inside. Why? Because his word is sharp, it's quick, it's alive, it's powerful. And every time you say it, every time you declare it, something happens in the spirit realm. Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. And so I get excited when I read this. And I'll just be real honest with you, saying you just got to get to the point where you just believe that giving is God's plan, and you just going to activate it so you can see his blessing show up in your life. Because, you know, this just ain't the church to come to if you think we're going to get on you and be fussing. That's just not how it goes. Not when the Bible already teaches us that you have to make up your own mind. You've got a purpose in your own heart. You can't be reluctant. See, you're going to be reluctant if the ushers start passing the bucket and they stay there until you put something in it. Praise the Lord. Verse 8 is the promise. And God is able. Not only is he able, but he's willing to make all grace. What is all grace? Every favor and earthly blessing come to you how? In abundance. So that you may, what's that next word? It is the will of God for you to always, under all circumstances, and whatever the need be, self-sufficient. And I want, if you are not making that confession, I want you to start making that confession. Father, I thank you that I'm self-sufficient. You got it? What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Let's just keep reading. Possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnish in abundance for every good work or for every charitable donation. It is the order of God that you are a good steward, because proper stewardship worship produces increase in our lives, all right? The better we watch this. It's a principle that the Bible teaches us, not just in money, but in every area, all right? Let me just tell you, to my couples, my husband and wives, my married couples, if you will learn to really put the work in and manage your marriage properly, your marriage will get better. To my entrepreneurs, if you have a business, if you start managing that business at the next level, guess what? Your business is going to get better. You got it? The money is no different. If I start managing it the right way, guess what's going to happen? It's going to get better, right? And so it is the order of God that you always have, all right? This is something that I just always say, a confession I make. Lady and I were always being a blessing. You got it? Somebody was an extreme blessing to us this past week, and I couldn't help but go right to, you know, to the online giving. We give 15%. That's just what we do. You got it? And then after that, once we did that, it was like the next day we heard somebody had a need, and it was like $1,600. Well, I didn't back up to be a blessing to that person because, watch this, when someone told someone to be a blessing to me, they didn't back up to be a blessing to me. Now, I don't want to get into it, and I didn't tell that person what we did because they weren't doing it for that reason. You got it? They just wanted to sow a seed. It was very nice. It was extremely generous. Right? Watch this. But I learned years ago the power of a twice-sown seed. So they sowed that seed into our life, so we gave God what belonged to him plus another 5%, and then really, we weren't even looking for the need, but the Holy Spirit brought it to us because I know that the Holy Spirit knew if I can get this to them, that this is a need, they're not going to hesitate to take care of that need. And the power of a twice sown seed is, watch this, the person that sowed into our life is also going to reap the blessings of what we did for that person at that $1,600 level. Does that make sense? So I'm telling you, see, this is the problem. Y'all, you got to catch it. The problem is when we get some money, we want to hold on to it and we don't want to release it. Does that make sense? I remember one time I was in service and somebody came up and they put $100 in my hand, right? And y'all know pastor and lady don't, besides our birthdays, when we say, hey, be a blessing, we don't ask you for anything. A lot of you check the pastor's offering box. We don't even talk about that. You haven't heard me say pastor's offering in years, right? But they did that. But then there was something going on in the service. And then what happened was I ended up giving the $100 to somebody else. But when I gave it to them, in my mind, I'm still going to go and give what belongs to the Lord. Does that make sense? You got it? And the person, they meant, well, but like, pastor, that was for you. I was trying to bless you. I wanted you to be, and you giving it away. And I said, no, you are missing the principle and you're missing the point. You got it. We are both going to be the more blessed because I just did that. Does that make sense? That's a good place to clap right there. So you can never be God-given, I don't care how hard you try. Giving is a lifestyle that keeps you connected to heaven's supply chain, all right? Repeat after me. I always have because I always give. So never allow the fear, you got it, of giving to try to grip you. You got it? Obey God in faith, all right? Obey God how? You got to do it in faith, all right? You got to obey God in faith, and it'll always work out. All right, everybody say number two.
Number two,
giving is worship and not a bill. Giving. So that's why when we do our budget, we have our income. You got it? We have the first. You got it? You know, the tithe or tithe and offering, however you want to say it. You got it? And then we have bills. So the tithe isn't the number one bill. Come on, somebody. Right? No. The tithe is what's holy and sanctified and set apart and belongs to the Lord. And because I put God at the top of the list, I am convinced that he's going to take care of the rest of the list in my life. Does that make sense? All right. So this is passages, you know, like I said, I don't, when it comes to the teaching on giving, I don't play games. I rightly divide the word of God so you can understand. When we leave, that's up to you what you do. You understand? But you'll never be able to say, I did not get proper teaching on giving. You understand? I'm not, if you turn around three times and just don't give 10%, but give 25%, try God and see if the BMW don't show up. Don't show up. No, that's a game. That's a game. Now, if your desire is to have a BMW, well, God bless you. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not, the BMW is not the game, but playing games. God didn't say 15%, 20%, 25%. The tithe is the 10th part. It belongs to God. Watch this. Now, if Holy Spirit tells me to do something beyond that, you got it, then that's between me and the Holy Spirit. But we're not going to play games. Watch this class and get you emotional, right? And now that we've gotten you emotional, you know, it's like, you know, I got to do it now. I got to do it now. No. I very much want to teach it in a way where it's quiet. You can hear me so you can make a calculated choice that, yes, this is God's plan to prosper my life. Does that make sense? Amen. All right. So giving is worship and not a bill. So I put this at the top of my budget before my bills because I'm going to honor and worship God with the first. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of not some, but all your my bonus, my income tax, my birthday money. Somebody cash at me, anything. Verse 10, all right? Here's another. You talked about the if-thens, the principles, and the promises. Here's the promise in verse 10, that your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. And that's where, we started saying we can believe for the overflow in our lives, that we can believe for the more than enough. This is in Proverbs when it starts talking about bringing the first. That's not under the law. This is 400 years after the law. You understand? There's times that I've taught you specifically on tithing, and I've taken you through the scripture before, during, and after the law. Now, every time we give, we honor God. Every time we give, we worship God. Giving is an expression of gratitude and devotion to God that He is the source and the sustainer of my life, and I trust Him above everything else. All right? So when I'm giving, I'm not losing money. When I'm giving, I'm honoring God. All right. Deuteronomy 16 and 17 says each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way that the Lord your God has blessed you. And I love tithing, and I believe tithing is fair. Right. Because if you make 2000, right, your tithe is 200. So you come and say, Father, I'm giving you the first. Right. And then if somebody else makes 1000, you got no. Let's go higher. 10,000. Right. Then their tithe is 1,000, right? And you're giving God, God honors both of them the exact same and bless you the same way because it's fair. Does that make sense? So watch this. If mine was 1,000, yours is 200, I can't get all puffed up. Mm-hmm. See, No. That it doesn't work like that. You understand? You got it. And if I'm at the $200 level, you got it. I'm just going to keep working the process. Maybe not overnight, but over time, I'm going to get to that $1,000 level because I believe God. Does that make sense? Amen. All right. So giving is not a bill. It's worship. All right. My last point, everybody say number 3. Stewardship of the 90% is what sustains the blessing. Stewardship of the 90% is what sustains the blessing. Let me just tell you. Once I give the 10%, how many know I got to handle the 90 well? How many know that a budget is going to help me handle the 90 well? Does that right? Because people will, you can't just keep wasting the 90 and keep wasting the 90. Well, I'm just going to keep giving the tithe and it'll work out. You can't tithe your way out of poor stewardship. Oh, Lord. Don't get mad at Pastor. The tithe opens the windows or floodgates of heaven. Stewardship determines what stays in your house and how much more you will increase. That's good right there. That's good. So tithing invites God, and stewardship maintains what I have and puts me in a position to receive more. Proverbs 21 and 5 says good planning and hard work lead to what, class? We're going to try it again. Act like that didn't happen. Proverbs 21 and 5 says good planning and hard work lead to what, class?
Prosperity.
So the word prosperity is in the Bible. So it's not a bad word. You got it? Now, people have taken it and twisted it and stuff, but don't worry about what people do. You worry about the Bible. You got it? So good planning and hard work leads to God prospering your life, right? But hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. It takes time to build the life you want to live, and it's never too late to build it. You got it? It takes time to build the life you want to live in. It takes discipline even for a pastor to stand up and be honest with you, you know, on tithing and stewardship and how. But let me just tell you, it's not like we got a whole bunch of people out there trying to teach us how to handle our finances properly. Most people just trying to get from you. You go down to the car dealership and you know that you can only afford $450 a month. You got it. And you don't need $450 a month at an 84 month loan at 25% interest. That's not God. That's not a blessing. You got it. And so you have to use wisdom, because wisdom is the principal thing. And so God has just blessed me long before I ever started pastoring. When we started pastoring, we were 30 years old. We've been in businesses for years before that. When we were 25, Lady and I, we made our first $1 million. So I'm only saying that to let you know, Pastor knows what he's talking about. You understand? When we were trying to get this land and build this building and those kind of things, and when we went to the bank, you know, I didn't have to hire someone. I put the financial package together. I did the whole thing. And the guy's like, "Well, what company did you use?" I was like, "I didn't use a company." You got it? And so what am I saying? That the stuff that you don't know, you can learn, start applying, and maybe not overnight, but over time, that thing's gonna start working for you. But you got to start at some point. It's never too late to start saving for later. Some point, you just got to start, right? Yeah, it's never too late. When we talked last week about prioritizing, we said that we were going to give to God. In the church app, under sermon notes, this is in there. We're going to give to God because we give him the first, and we're going to pay creditors. We're going to save money. And then we're going to enjoy the rest. Give to God as the first, pay the creditors. Why do I pay? Because I hear a lot of people now saying, pay yourself first. Now, me personally, I don't know what kind of plan that is, finances, where they got that from, but this is the whole thing. I wrote down on that dotted line of the card note that I would pay that person back. Right. So it's integrity to pay them first. Does that make sense? So I'm going to give to God, I'm going to pay creditors, and I'm going to save money. You know, and everybody needs an emergency account of, you know, if you can only do 500 right now, do 500. You can work your way up to 1,000, you know. And then once God starts blessing you, a lot of times they tell you, try to get 3 months or 3 to 6 months, you know, of what it takes for you per month. And it's not something that happens overnight. It's something that happens over time, but you got to have a plan. So that way, if an emergency comes up, it never becomes a crisis, because if the tire's $150, thank God I got some savings. I can just go grab it. And so now the emergency doesn't become a crisis. Does that make sense? This is good teaching right here. You know, and then if you have 401k and you have a job that matches it, don't not put that in. If they match it at 100, at least put 100 in. Do you know what $200 in over the course of 20 years in a 401k, it can produce a nice little bit amount of money. Right? You know, and then when you start really learning, you go further, that's when you learn stuff like brokerages, accounts, and just do stuff that's, you know, on the S&P 500, but that, I don't want to go too far, you know, but just easy stuff, you understand? And don't try to figure it out on your own. Just call Charles Schwab and talk to them, you understand? Don't even come talk to Pastor, because I'm not a financial planner, praise the Lord. But what I'm saying is, when you really start saving and start stewarding, and your money starts increasing, watch this. If you already have, you know, everything you need and you get a big increase, maybe it's not for you to go get some more stuff. Maybe now God's giving that to you so you can start putting that away so you can start increasing. Because it's never too late. That's a good place to clap. So this is not law. Okay, this is not law. It's just wisdom. All right, this is not law. All right, all right. It's just wisdom. This strategy does several things. I gave this to you last week. It builds legacy. All right. Don't leave your children with bills. Leave them with blessings. One of the best ways to create generational wealth is life insurance. It's one of the best ways to do it. And there's several different kinds. And if you can't do anything else, just get you some term. And you can even now do term life insurance for 35 years, only up to, I think it's now like 47, 48. You know, once, you know, those of us that are pushing 50 or are over 50, we can still do 30-year term. But you'll be amazed if you just go look it up that I've been doing this for years, but I've got $1 million policy that I got when, when 25 years old, and I'm still paying on it. I think that they gave me a what's called a return on premium. So that means at the end, if I stayed and paid every payment, I get back everything I ever put in. Now, I don't know if they even do that anymore, you understand? But the reason they do this is because they don't think that you're going to really pay it for 30 years. Well, I'm 22 years into it. So I'm in 8 more years. That to me, that was a savings plan of nothing else, because I wasn't planning on dying. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. But you know, play something. We got to go home court. We got to get out of here. So, but we did that on purpose. And so I can't remember. I don't know how much we're paying for, $50 a month or something for a $1 million policy. But even now, a $1 million policy, I mean, you know, when I turned 40, I re-upped them. You know, there's a set man one for the church. You got it. I have several for lady and the kids. I don't plan on going anywhere. But if I do, lady ain't going to need to go looking for no man. Right? Now, if she decides to do that, that's on her. I'm going to be in heaven. Me and Jesus going to be sipping on heavenly tea. You understand? But what I'm saying is, sister girl will be all the way taken care of. House, cars will be paid off. She'll have a brokerage account that has a bunch of money. She'll have high yield savings that has a bunch of money. She's going to be good. You got it? So that way, there can still, I ain't going nowhere, y'all. But I still believe that that's God, the order of God. You got it? Because there's too many times in my almost 20 years of pastoring that I've seen so many families scrounging to come up with $6,000 to pay it when it's so cheap just to go out and get some life insurance. And I'm telling you, if you are a committed, faithful member of WLCC, I can only talk to you. As your pastor, if you don't have it, I'm telling you, go get you some. Because even if you only go get you $100,000, that's pennies on the... Just don't go out to eat once a month and you're going to pay that. But you have to see it as important. To me, this church is important. So if I was to go to heaven early, ain't nobody going to come in here trying to mess up this. Everything's going to be taken care of. You got it? There's a plan in place that's already written up. The board has it. Lady has it. If anything happens, Pastor, this is what you do. Why? I love you enough to make sure that there's a plan in place. And I told them, this who you call, this who you don't call. Because these guys, they coming in to help. They ain't going to want nothing. These other guys, no, they going to come in and see, ooh, they see dollar signs everywhere that they look. Does that make sense? And so I love my kids and I love Lady and I'm always going to be here. That's my plan. You got it? But if I was... In case of faith failure, something happened, I go to heaven early, you know, it's assurance for me to know that she will always be taken care of and she never has to go ask anybody for anything. Why? Because 27 years, she's never had to ask anybody for anything. Why should she start now? Amen. Does that make sense? Give the Lord a big hand, praise. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for this lesson. I know this lesson can be tough sometimes for hearers when it comes to giving. Why? I don't want to hear about money and those kind of things. But Father, I thank you that because I've rightly divided the word, that no offense will take place. But yet, a different perspective will come from the Holy Spirit, helping them to understand that Father, you're not trying to get anything from them. You're trying to get something to them. You're trying to get them to work your plan for their lives, so that they can experience the kingdom prosperity that you've already set for them. So I just declare in the name of Jesus that every person that hears under the sound of my voice, that they're just not hearers of this word, but they're doers. And as a result, because of it, that their life gets better and better and better. For those of us that have made mistakes financially and just done things, Father, we ask you to forgive us right now in the name of Jesus. Forgive us and help us to recover, because we know you're a God of great grace and a God of great mercy. And so I thank you for victorious reversals in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that the next time this shows back up in our lives, we'll handle it the right way and not the wrong way. We thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand, praise. Are you glad you came to church at 9 o'clock in the morning?